It's the first day of Thinking Digital in Newcastle, and I am with
Will McInnes.
So Will is co-founder of Nixon McInnes, which is one of the first social media agencies in the UK before social media became like a dirty word, like being a banker or whatever. But Will, just tell us a bit about how Nixon McInnes is set up and run, because it's slightly different from a normal agency model.
Yeah, so we were inspired when we started the company by two books. One is Maverick by Ricardo Semler, who's this amazing Brazilian entrepreneur who ran his giant manufacturing business democratically. Really cool book, and that inspired us. And the other one was The Clue Train Manifesto, which is all about how markets are conversations and how the internet is not about technology, it's about what that enables and the kind of the disruption that follows and brilliant human magnificence. So as a result, we set Nixon McInnes up to try and embrace that. So we run the company democratically, we vote on key decisions together, everyone knows what everyone else earns, everyone knows, you know, have full open book accounting, and then we do some other progressive things that are a kind of experiments, but we think they're the way the world is heading. So we measure happiness every day using tennis balls, and we were 83% happy last year, which is an average of 9 happy balls and 2 unhappy balls.
So someone counts them every day then?
Yeah. You just add them up and put them on a little sheet on the front door coming out of the office. And we're trying to celebrate failure as well. So we're running this thing called Church of Fail, where we turn the boardroom into a church, a non-denominational church, and you stand up and you talk about your failure and then everyone applauds wildly.
And what's the idea behind that?
The idea behind it is sort of making failure, celebrating failure, because I think, well, you know, people much brighter and more thorough than me think that if you can increase your failure rate, you can increase your rate of innovation, your rate of creativity, and that actually fear of failure is a much bigger barrier than failure itself.
So in terms of running the agency like that, I mean, what are the kind of challenges of it? Because it sounds absolutely lovely, and I imagine you have quite a low staff turnover, but there must be some challenges that come with that.
Yeah, there are massive challenges, and it's easy to talk about the glossy stuff, but the challenges are constant. You know, if you come in one day and there are loads of balls in the unhappy bucket, it's like a kick in the gut. It's a useful steer, but it's like, everyone hates their job.
But it might not be about you, right?
But that's still upsetting that they're not happy. You know, I care about them. And the open book accounting is really hard to live with, because you come in on a Monday morning, we do the team stand up at 10:30 a.m. on a Monday, and we look at the numbers, and if the numbers aren't good, there's no hiding from it. So it's almost like, I think the traditional business approach does have some strengths, which is it kind of immunises the people from the everyday stresses. But the downside is that one day they suddenly find out they've been made redundant because the company's run out of money or whatever.
Okay.
So that's really hard. It's really hard working in an environment where everyone knows what everyone else earns, because person X might be doing a great job and feeling like she's doing a great job and she deserves more. But she also is aware that her peers who are also doing great jobs are worthy of pay rises, and you can't get into that sort of invisible competition. It's a visible competition, and there's a finite pot that the money comes out of. And also the culture can get quite wearing and tiring. So we have had a really low retention, a really high retention rate. But you know, I think in the next year we'll see some people leaving.
And I mean, in terms of running the agency like that, it's probably the only kind of agency I've heard. I mean, not that that means anything, but are you aware of other agencies, you know, whether social media, PR, design, development, whatever, in the UK that run like that?
Yeah, the guys at Rabbit are going on a similar path. So okay. They're also members of this World Blue Most Democratic list. So Dirk and the guys there are doing that. And then before our time, really, there was this agency called St. Luke's, which is kind of an advertising agency, famous for doing.
Yeah, and they wrote, there was a book written about them and stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah.
They're cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do you think more, I mean, I guess ultimately the dichotomy is if you're in business, then usually the people that set up the business, not necessarily agencies so much, they might do it because they're really passionate and they want to, you know, kind of do what they want to do, but then they do want to make money out of it for them. So, do you think that more agencies will go that way, or do you think you're going to remain an oddity in the nicest possible way?
I think that more agencies and more businesses in general are going to go in this way. I think if you see the current trends and then extend them, so like the world is flattening, more and more people do have portfolio careers, freelance lives, it's a more acceptable, understood way of working. And all technologies like Skype and smartphones make all of that. And if you extend that, well, the rationale is, well, I can do it on my own, so what are the benefits of belonging to a company?
Mm.
And I think as a result, we will see more and more employee-owned companies, more and more companies where people have a real say in them, more and more John Lewis's, more and more. But you hit on a really interesting issue, which is probably the biggest challenge, which is Tom and I founded the company, other people have been instrumental in developing it, and how you cope with rewarding that.
Yeah.
If we don't sell the company one day, which is the traditional route, like how do we realise the value that we've created?
So what's the answer?
I don't know. I would love us to somehow move gradually towards employee ownership and have the company owned by a trust that the employees own. But the challenge we've come up against is that the amount of money that trust would need to borrow to pay off the founders
is just
we don't want to saddle the company with debt. So,
and I mean, just because we should not finish before talking about your book, which is out in August, Culture Shock, which I know is not about agencies, but it's kind of about social business and transparency. So, do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, I mean that is if the stuff that Nick's McInnes does is sort of 3% interesting, then the stuff in Culture Shock is 97% interesting. So I kind of went out and along the way discovered all these other amazing companies doing amazing things. And my belief and my passion is, like, let's just spread this stuff. Let's get more and more organisations, whether they're schools, government departments, or businesses, startups, like more of this stuff in the 21st century. My belief is that most organisations in the 21st century resemble kind of Stonehenge. They're still monolithic. They're still these big lumps of rock. And if you took a CEO from the 1950s and dropped them into a modern organisation, they'd kind of know their way around. Mm. So, well, surely in the 21st century we can do better. And so there are, you know, I ended up kind of researching companies like Gore, who make Gore-Tex, HCL, a big Indian software integrator, Namaste Solar, a kind of smaller solar panel company in Colorado. All of these organisations who are doing things really differently. And I think if we can show more people that there are alternative paths, I think the future of business is a more positive, more human place.
Thank you.